Good morning. This morning's reading is from Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 10. And there are Bibles near the door if you need one. So Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 10. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Amen.
All right, thanks Helen for that. Please, well, actually, there's only really two verses, so we'll keep that up on the screen when we need, or keep your Bible in front of you. I've heard someone say that Colin is the greatest theologian, Colin Buchanan, the greatest theologian Australia has produced, and it's probably pretty close to the truth. He is fantastic, isn't he, in teaching biblical truths to our kids and even to us, I think. So a great way to memorize scripture as well. Let's pray as we come to look at these verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask now for your help, for strength, for energy, to be able to focus, to be able to concentrate in our minds at what your word says. Father, we ask for your Spirit's work in our hearts, that we would grow through our time together through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me ask you, what does the road ahead for you look like? If you just go to the next slide, Maddie. Are you starting something new for 2022? Maybe it's too early to start thinking, you know, you've just got over Christmas, but I want you to start thinking about that already. Are you starting something new for 2022? Beginning work or a new job, or maybe beginning studies in a new course, becoming a parent for the first time, or adding a child in? Or are you continuing much of the same next year? Raising kids, food and nappies and naps and playtime, school routines, working the same old job, just day by day. Is it another year of just steady assignments and exams? Or is it trying to stay fit and healthy, as fit as and healthy as you can in retirement while enjoying some leisure time and the grandkids? Or do you have particular worries about the road ahead? Health issues, or caring for a loved one, a relational stress that maybe is already going on, or that you're worried about? Are you worried about the borders opening up in February, or are we too late for that? Is next year looking like a year of just surviving the challenges? Or do you have particular hopes for the road ahead? You know, finishing a big project that's taken, you know, years, that you know, you've been working on for years or months or whatever it is. Maybe your big hope is meeting that special someone, or welcoming the addition to the family. Or maybe your hopes are just a bit more general. I tend to have just general things like this. I just hope life goes fairly smoothly. Anyone hope that? I think most of us would like that, right? That life is just, there's no big major challenges or struggles. Well, these two well-known verses hold out a promise for us. He will make your path straight. We'll come to what that means a little bit later, what straight paths means, but that sounds positive, doesn't it? We're supposed to take that as a positive thing. If life is a journey, who doesn't want straight paths? Now, you outdoor-loving, adventurous types, kind of set aside the perspective of that sounds really boring. That's not the point, right? When it comes to a metaphor for life, whether you use the word road or path, whatever it is, straight is much better than a crooked path. Or than living on, you know, a life that's rocky and hilly, up and down. God holds out a promise of straight paths. But there's a lifestyle, or more, a mindset with a lifestyle of the person who receives this promise. What is it? In these verses, it comes in two parts. Trust in the Lord and know Him. So firstly, trust. Where are we? Trust in the Lord. So this is fairly straightforward. It's all very simple today. Straight out of the verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Notice that the words trust and lean on are in parallel there. You know, the kids did the action, or we all did the action, right? Leaning on, if you're leaning on something, you're relying on that to hold you up. That's the sense that we should understand for trust. It isn't, trust isn't just some abstract, you know, faith idea. Like just trust in the existence of God. The word trust means to rely upon. It's what you set your life on that's important. All of us are relying on various things in life to varying degrees. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 tells us, set our whole life upon the Lord, upon God, as He's revealed Himself. Trust in, or even the word is towards the Lord with all your heart. See, He's the target of our trust. What's the alternative way that we're warned away from? Relying on our own understanding. And you know, it all sounds straightforward, right? But it's actually difficult to do because we rely so much on what we know, don't we? Upon our understanding of things. But very often our own understanding is actually influenced and is dependent on the world's understanding. It's the common human understanding because we're just immersed in the ideas of our world. Of course, that's going to vary from culture to culture, but we are greatly influenced from our culture. So consider this. What is the world's understanding that particularly influences us? That may prove not to be as solid ground as what as we hope it is. Consider these kind of questions. What is life all about? What happens to the human soul after death? What's the nature of humanity? What value does a human life have? What is morally right or wrong? Are there actually any absolutes for morality? What should I think about, or what position should I hold on the issues of gender that are around today? What priorities should I have for life? How should we define what human flourishing is, right? I think everyone who lives around us is going, well, we want what's going to be best for humanity and for best for people to flourish. Well, how would we define what human flourishing is? Or even more specific and more personally, how should I spend my money? What approach or attitude should I have to my wealth and possessions? There are so many things that we could consider where we actually have an understanding or maybe a hazy understanding or we don't know where we sit on some of those things, but we have some kind of understanding that we are living our life in line with, relying upon what we think is true or not in those areas. Here's the important issue. Are you going to lean on your understanding, whatever way that might be formed, or are you going to trust in the Lord? Well, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? How do we actually do that? Let me suggest that there's kind of two aspects to that. One aspect is obvious by considering the parallel line there, and it's probably already come to mind. Lean not on your own understanding. That suggests instead that instead of our understanding and our knowledge, instead of leaning on our own understanding, our understanding or our knowledge should be informed by the Lord. And therefore, we should seek to know and trust the Lord's word. Let me give a couple of examples of where kind of human understanding clashes with God's understanding. So I mentioned it before, what's your understanding of wealth and possessions? Right? Should we store up lots of money and invest it to keep making more? There's wisdom in being prudent with our finances, right? But will we trust in the Lord when he says this in Matthew 6? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is a tricky issue because it's not as simple as just going, well, let's make rules then about how much money we can have and how much I should be giving. It's not that at all. It's actually a heart issue that we've got to deal with here. Notice that's how he finishes. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. Consider another one for a moment. Consider what's commonly thought about wisdom. What is human wisdom or understanding? I was challenged by this recently in a Bible study that we went through with our small group. Consider human wisdom and what we kind of think that normally is. But then here's God's understanding. James 3, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. And verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven or from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Do you see a clash there with what we'd probably commonly think of wisdom? God says actually wisdom is being able to live in peace with other people. One more. There's kind of a worldly or human understanding of beauty that we're just immersed in, right? Simply by where we live. Well, God says this in 1 Peter 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, that's addressed to women, but actually both men and women need to trust God's understanding on that whole issue. You know, many, many more examples could be looked at, about where human understanding clashes with God's word, but hopefully you get the picture. We need to know and trust God's word so that we live in line with that. But there's a second aspect. So I said there's two aspects to trust in the Lord. There's a second aspect. You see, the verse does not just say trust in the Lord's word. It says trust in the Lord. So although trust in the Lord must include kind of a reliance on his word to gain his understanding, it's not only about information, it's about relationship. It's not only trust in propositional statements, but trust in a person. Trust in the Lord means reliance upon him personally. Not only because he's all-knowing and wise, but because he's all-powerful and because he's loving. And so in the day-to-day circumstances, we need to keep reminding ourselves knowing that he is sovereign. He's in control of what's happening. So even when life feels out of control, we need to trust him. Sometimes we go forward into the unknown or into the difficult, but we do it prayerfully knowing that he is in control. So we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And secondly, we need to know the Lord is the second one. And the NIV translation, the 2011 translation, which is what we normally use, It has it in all your ways, submit to him, which is unfortunate. They should have stuck with their original translation in 1984, which was the way we sang it as well. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Almost every other translation uses the word acknowledge. Nowhere in the Bible is that word actually translated submit, because it just doesn't mean submit. The word actually means to know. And it can carry that nuance of acknowledge, which is related to know, But actually, even that is extremely rare. This word occurs 944 times in the Old Testament. And almost all of them are to know or new. I think the best translation of this verse is actually, in all your ways, know him. Which includes the idea of acknowledging. But here's the problem with the idea of acknowledging him in all our ways. To me, it just kind of suggests, well, just do it with him in mind, right? Or do it with respect to him and being thankful to God. And that's definitely part of it. But I think there's a much greater relational aspect that's going on in this verse, that this verse is encouraging. You see, your ways does not just mean your plans. It means your conduct, your day-by-day walk, one step in front of the other. Life is a journey. And this is talking about each step along the way of that journey. Know the Lord. Knowing God in the end is the most important thing for your life. Knowing the Lord in the end is the most important thing for your life. I was struck by this in preparing to preach this this week. You know, I have various priorities in my life, various goals in my life, though not all of my goals are kind of clearly thought out, but most of them focus around how I'm serving God, my service for God, and living my life for Him. Do you find, is that kind of where your priorities and where your focus is in relationship to God? But is my most important goal to know God? Shouldn't it be? It absolutely should be. Well, what's your most important goal in life? Where does God fit into the picture of your life or fit into your whole life? And once you've thought about that, where God fits in it, well, what's actually in place? Or what are you going to put in place so that you keep growing in knowledge of the Lord day by day? And you know what? I don't just mean just read your Bible more, because that's, you know, or are you reading your Bible enough? That's not the only application that comes from this. That's going to be part of it. But actually, it's how we read our Bible will be a bigger part. You see, I can go to the Bible and just read it lots just for knowledge of how to live, or just for information about God. But actually, my aim should be to know God more, to know Him personally. Or it's even more than just about reading the Bible. It's about when and how you pray. It's about what goes on in your thought life. It's about how you face trouble or conflict. It's about how you go about your day. See, in all your ways, whether your ways lead you into study or into work, whether they lead you into full-time raising kids, whether it's into marriage or into singleness or singleness after marriage, whether your ways lead you into severe illness or grief, whether your ways lead you into much wealth and possessions, or into struggling just to make ends meet. Whatever way your life goes, is your priority to know the Lord? Is it your priority to know the Lord? See, the Apostle Paul writes this in Philippians 3. He says, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him." Do you see that? What's the goal of justification by faith, of receiving the gift of God's righteousness here? It's to know Him. Knowing Him surpasses everything else in life. The journey of life for the Christian is a journey with the Lord. seeking to know him more and more day by day. So the life that ends up with straight paths is one of trusting in the Lord with all your heart and knowing the Lord in all your ways. But then what does it mean that he will make your path straight? The basic meaning of the word here is the word straight, or sometimes upright, or level, or right. So the word can mean to make level, to make kind of flat, like in Isaiah 45:2, it talks about kind of leveling out the ground, the mountains or hills being leveled out so that the pathway can be made for someone to do something. You know, it gives almost the sense of making the road easier. When you look at the context of Proverbs 3, so we had verses 1 to 10 read out, most of the other verses hold out to the wise person the possibility of prosperity and favor and health. And that could mean that straight paths have a similar idea. It then probably has the idea of, you know, straight paths is success or an easy road. And the fact that it is the Lord that makes the path straight probably makes us tend to think of that, I think. That certainly is one of the ways I've thought of this passage a lot. The Bible does not present prospering in life as a bad thing, right? We shouldn't say, "Oh no, I can't say that because you know it's not just about prosperity, a prosperity gospel or prosperity now." You see, the Bible doesn't say that that's a bad thing. That prospering in life is in itself is a bad thing. On the contrary, absolute poverty of life, or someone completely destitute and dying from malnutrition or lack of care, that is a bad thing. That's a horrific thing. See, God's goal is for ultimately the prosperity of all his children for eternity. So it's not that prospering's a bad thing. And you know what? Very often a life of trust in the Lord and knowing him, often it will lead you in paths away from sin, which often carry with it incredibly hard and painful paths. And so it could be that idea. I think there is, certainly it is a better road to travel in that way. But even if straight paths had that meaning originally, when we take that verse, we put it back into the context of the whole Bible, the New Testament presents a very different picture, a very different scheme of life this side of Christ's coming. Yeah, the life for the Christian is not presented as smooth or an easy life. Far from it. Acts 14, verse 22, Paul and Barnabas went back through cities that they had visited. They were planting churches there, and they went back and were strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And they said this: "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." Or the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 3 that he had sent Timothy to them, verse 3, "that no one may be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know." See, the life of a Christian is not promised to be easy. Yet, I actually still think it's true that by trusting in the Lord and by knowing him, he will make your path straight. So what does it mean to make path straight? Well, in Psalms and in Proverbs and a key one in Habakkuk 2:4, the word straight is used as a synonym or in close connection to the word righteousness or righteous. Take Psalm 5 verse 8, for example. It says, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." Or Habakkuk 2:4, "See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright." That's the word, are not straight. "But the righteous person will live by faith." Or Proverbs 4 verse 25, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful attention, careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. See, the straight paths the Lord wants us to walk in and that he wants to make for us are walking in his ways. So I don't think the promise is for a smooth or easy road ahead. But I think it's a promise for the best road ahead. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in. So what does your road ahead look like? What does your road look like for the year ahead? I hope you've been convinced that the best road, no matter what circumstances that leads you into, the best road is the straight paths the Lord can give you. Not necessarily smooth or easy, but a road that is for his glory and for your good. And how will you gain these straight paths? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and know the Lord day by day. You know what? The most important focus for our trust in the Lord is for our salvation. God promises eternal life, life with him forever, for those who have faith in him. And we need to believe and continue to believe God's way of salvation. You see, the human approach, the approach of our world, is that acceptance by God is by merit, by our merit. We earn it. I pay, I earn it. That's the human approach. But God's way is mercy. He paid through his son. He gifts it to us. We need to understand God's way and trust him. And then live in relationship with him, to him, standing in his grace. You see, grace isn't just that one-off transaction at the start. We stand in God's grace, his favor. So when I sin, although that does not please or glorify him, I've not fallen out of his favor, out of his grace. See, the human understanding would say, I've got to pay for my sins now. So I beat myself up over it. Either emotionally or psychologically. I remain kind of distant from God for a while. I feel unworthy. But if I understand God's grace, I was never worthy in the first place. So God's way is repentance. It's when I see my sin, it's turning back to him with remorse over sin, but then believing his promises, claiming that in Christ I am forgiven, I am accepted. Trust him for it day by day. And make it your aim to know God, to know him more in the year ahead. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, makes the same point. He writes this: what were we made for? To know God. What aim should we set ourselves in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. He shows us, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is the best thing in life, bringing more joy, delight, and contentment than anything else? Knowledge of God. In Jeremiah 9:23, this is what the Lord says: let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Trust in the Lord and know him. Are you going to make Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 a commitment to put into practice Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for the year ahead? Don't just wait till New Year. Start today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful promise that shows you want what is best for us. So, Father, we ask that you'd help us receive it. We ask that you give us the strength to trust you with all our heart. We ask that you give us wisdom to see when we're relying on our understanding. Help us to know you and your word and to trust you day by day, living your ways. Father, especially we ask that we would know you, that we would know you more and more. So, Father, as we look towards a new year, but even as we look towards the rest of this week, we ask that you'd help us to live this way, to live your way. We ask that you would do this for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.